and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Is there any other announcements? Okay, Pastor Anna will be back on Tuesday, so if you have any emergencies, please let Andy Beck know.
Good morning, church.
Morning.
Good to be back at Holly Grove this morning. My name is Tim Brown. I'm the Director of Congregational Stewardship, as Tony said, for the ELCA. And a lot of times I'm traveling around the country and doing things, so I'm always really happy when I can go someplace and be home in the same day. So this is really lovely. I'm out of Raleigh, North Carolina, and grateful to be with you again. We'll hear a little bit more about me in a bit, but I invite you to stand and as we confess our sins in the presence of God and one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Baptized into Christ, let us confess our sin. Merciful God, you free us to love others, but we neglect our neighbors and follow our own way. You lead us by the spirit of joy and peace, but we turn away from the abundant life you offer. You surround us with patience, kindness, and generosity, but we grow weary in doing what is right. In your mercy, forgive us. Do not give up on us. Heal us. Break our bonds, and show us the path of life. Amen. Beloved, you belong to Christ, and you are God's children through faith. In the cross of Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, your sin is forgiven. Clothed with Christ, you are a new creation. Amen. Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Be with you. Let us pray. O God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, you are the city that shelters us, the mother who comforts us. With your Spirit, accompany us on our life's journey, that we may spread your peace in all the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. And children can come up for a little children's chat this morning. Everyone can come up. Good morning. I think Pastor Anna usually sits, but I'm going to stand, mostly because I was sitting all morning. Good morning. So we have a couple of, yes, a baby doll as well. Excellent. Crocs. I should have worn my Crocs. I didn't wear them this morning. Good to have you guys. I'm Tim, by the way, and I'm just going to point out a couple of things in the church. So everything we do at the church has meaning, right? Everything has meaning. Adults, everything has meaning, all right? So I'm going to point out some of the meanings that we have here. First is, I'm wearing something funky. You're wearing something funky, too. What are you wearing? This, right? Do you know what this is called? It's a stole. Stole, yeah, that's right. It's a stole. You know what it means? It's a sign for kind of the yoke of the Word of God. You know, when cows would walk, they put on a yoke and they'd walk around. The yoke of the Word of God is supposed to be kind of heavy, right? Yeah, yeah, it's supposed to feel weighty, right? It says this is a symbol. It's a sign. It's a symbol, right? We also have another symbol. I'm looking at it right up there. What do you see right up there on that banner?
That's the green with the fish.
Yes, green with fish and basket of bread, right? So if you all look at the basket of bread, right, what's that symbol for? The basket of bread and the fish, does anybody know? There's no wrong answer except for the wrong one. loaves and fishes, right? It's an allusion to the parables. This is the season where we read that story of the loaves and fishes. Do you know why it's green, Brentley? That's right. Yeah, all the banners, all the pyramids, everything is green right now because green is the sign of growth. And we're in the season of spiritual growth. This is the green season. It's for spiritual growth, right? This is why everything is green right now. I'm going to show you one other one that is kind of interesting. This is an interesting symbol that some churches use, not every church uses, but some churches use. And I got this for Pastor Anna a while back. This was given to me by a Catholic priest who now has died. He's now been sainted. But this was given to me. This was his chasuble. Do you know what a chasuble is? Well, so a chasuble is a special robe that you used to wear when you presided communion. We all kind of wear funky robes, right? This one's called a cassock. And do you know why the reason they had these robes? It's because they kept you warm. Yeah, in the ancient church. And it has 33 buttons, which is the number of years Jesus lived, right? So that's a symbol too. And it kept you warm. It was lined with fur way back when. But they would put this on because this was a symbol that you wore at the table when you were presiding over communion. And it, could you hold that for me? Thank you, sir. And it is meant to be a sign of God's overwhelming grace. Can I put this over your head? Is that all right? It's to be a sign of God's overwhelming grace, which we get at communion. Right? And they would have one in every color. And this one is for the green season, right? And so we get at communion, when we get to the communion time at the table, I'm going to put this on right before we have communion because it's a sign. I'm going to take it right off. It's a sign of God's overwhelming grace. The priest I got it from had a very small head. I wonder if this will fit on me. Right. Right. Everything in the church has a symbol, reminders of God's gracious love for us. So will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you so much for all the signs of your love and grace. Amen. Thank you for coming up today.
The New Testament lesson comes from the 6th chapter of Galatians. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted, but bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work, then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause of pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let's not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whatever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. For what letters I have made when I am writing in my own hand, it is those who want to make a showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that you may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. For those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Hear now the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, after all of this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. And Jesus said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. Greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the street and say, 'Even the dust of the town that clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you.' Yet still know, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." Jesus said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Good morning, church. Really, really great to be with you this morning. Again, my name is Pastor Tim Brown. I'm the director of congregational stewardship for the ELCA, which means I go around the country and I help churches and help synods kind of fuel their ministries and figure out ways to fuel their ministry. And I'm really glad to be back at Holly Grove. A couple of things I want to say before we get absolutely started this morning. The first is, this last week I was doing some work, and I was working with the South Dakota Synod. And South Dakota, kind of like North Dakota, is big enough so they have their own synod. So a bishop, and they have some synod's associates and whatnot. And one of my very good seminary friends happens to be the assistant to the bishop in South Dakota. So Johnny and I are talking, and by the way, I'm the only one who's allowed to call him Johnny, apparently, because, you know, he's a 44-year-old man. And so he says, "No one else can call me Johnny but you," which I think is because I'm the godfather of his son, but I don't know. Anyway, so Johnny and I were talking, and he was like, "Yeah, you know, Tim, I was preaching at this church this last weekend, and I show up, and they have red pyramids and red stoles and everything, and it's because they were doing a Saints' Day, a feast day, but I had prepared a sermon for the regular reading of the day, not the feast day, and I had about 15 minutes before service." And I said, "Oh, what'd you do?" He said, "Well, I do what you do. I go in the back and I scribbled some notes and here we go," right? And I woke up at 4 a.m. this morning and I thought to myself, "Oh man, did I prepare on the wrong text for today?" And I went and I looked and I did not. You have the right text for today. But I was very worried for a second. But unfortunately, the sermon that I had prepared for today I had used a lot of stuff from last week's reading, and I come to find out, doing a little discovery, that you didn't have last week's readings last week. You had something totally different. And so at 5 a.m., I did what any responsible pastor did, and I rewrote the sermon. So the sermon you're having today was not the original sermon that I thought. The original sermon that I was going to preach was excellent. It was great. It was really good. Yeah, we'll see what this one does, all right? The other unfortunate thing that you'll know about living in my house, I have two boys. Finley is 12 and Alistair is 10. They go off to camp today at Camp Agape. We'll send them off after this. But that means that our printer at home gets a lot of usage. And so even though I rewrote the sermon this morning at 5 a.m., there was no ink in the printer. So what you have before you is the old-fashioned handwritten sermon, a la my father, way back when we were young and full of dreams. So here we go. You ready? Pray with me. Gracious God, you send us out into the world, a world that is divided in so many ways, a world that is torn in so many ways. Today, our hearts are with those who have been divided from their families in floods in Texas, who have been divided from their families for all sorts of reasons, who are divided in themselves for all sorts of reasons. And in all of those areas, we pray one thing in your name today: peace. Amen. So I know it's the 4th of July weekend, but I have a Canadian band on my mind. And y'all have heard me preach before, so you know I got to sing just a little bit in every sermon. And that's only because that's how my mind works, and I'm sorry. That's just how it works. So I have a Canadian band on my mind this morning in light of this passage from Luke today. And it's a Canadian band that had a one-hit wonder in America. I think it had a couple other hits in Canada, but it's a one-hit wonder. And always when you reference a band, by the way, in church, you never know what you're going to get. Some of you may recognize this tune, some of you may not. But it's from a band called the Five Man Electric Band. And it goes, sign, sign, everywhere a sign. You all know it? Sign, sign, everywhere a sign, blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that, can't you read the signs? Signs. Signs are on my mind this morning in light of this reading because, well, signs give us instructions. They give us anywhere, everything, or signs also allow us to protest, or signs give us directions, like a signpost. Signs tell us which way to go and where to get, once we get to the destination, even what to do when we're there. That's what signs do. Signs can be a warning. I don't know how many of you have been to the national parks, any of them. What are some of the signs that you see at national parks? What? Don't feed the bears. You think we wouldn't have to have a sign about that, right? You think that would be a thing. My sons watch videos on YouTube of bears breaking into cars because people leave food in their cars. There are signs all over the place. Don't leave food in your cars. Bears can smell them through the windows. A bear was breaking into a car. My son said, Dad, look at that. And I said, yeah, bears are terrible drivers. You just never know. Signs all over the place. One of the worst signs I've ever seen in my life was in a church. It was a sign in the nursery. You know what the sign said? Do not make a mess. In the nursery. What are kids supposed to do? Signs. Signs, signs, everywhere a sign. Today in the gospel, Jesus gives these 70 disciples who he sends out to go ahead of him directions on how to minister. And they're to go with a sign. And what is the sign that they are to bring? Does anybody remember? Peace. A sign of peace. For all you hippies out there, you know that actually the first verse of the five-man electrical band signs, signs said, long-haired freaky people need not apply. Signs. Signs of peace. That's the first sign that Jesus gives the disciples to give to people who he visits. But see, peace when Jesus talks about it is not like peace when the world talks about it. The world talks about peace as if peace is just an absence of conflict. That's not peace. I mean, in some houses, there's lots of peace because there's quiet, but that's because there's a threat of violence if you're not. That's not peace. That's just quiet. Jesus doesn't ask us to bring quiet. Jesus asks us to bring peace. Peace means wholeness. Peace means fighting against injustice and dehumanization and telling hard truths in hard times, because that's the only way that you actually get peace, not just quiet. That's the sign that these disciples are to bring to the house. Peace, wholeness, peace. And then Jesus says, once you get there and you bring them a sign of peace, here are some instructions on what you're to do. Carry no purse, because, beloved, you are not going to buy their peace. And bring no bag, because you are not going to collect anything from them. It's not that kind of peace. And bring no sandals, because when the going gets tough, you're not just going to up and leave. You're going to stick around. And don't greet anyone on the way, because then you might get distracted. You have one job to do, Jesus says, and that's to bring peace. The church has one job to do, and it's to bring peace. And you're not going to buy peace with political influence or any monetary influence. And you're not going to bring a bag so you can accept gifts so that you be quiet when other people aren't being peaceful. And you're not going to get distracted along the way. You are to bring peace. You are to tell others that God's kingdom is near. And when God is on the scene, we have wholeness and we have peace. A sign of peace, real peace, injustice disrupting peace. And peace takes time. It takes community. After all, that's why one of the reasons why Jesus says bring no money, because you're going to live off of the goodness of the community. And Jesus says, you know, bring no sandals, because you're not going to up and go even when the going gets tough. A sign of deep togetherness means that we don't abandon each other when things get tough, beloved. We don't abandon each other when things get tough. Real peace takes sticking to it. You are there to stay, to be together, to be peace together. That's what the kingdom of God is. That's how the kingdom of God comes near. Community is built around the God of peace. A sign seen in the cosmos at the very beginning of the story with the star in the sky. The sign, everywhere a sign. Everywhere. These instructions, carry no purse, carry no bag, carry no sandals. I mean, I have to tell you, I'm not very good at following instructions. In fact, you don't have to ask me, just ask my wife. She will tell you, I'm not very good at following instructions. On Christmas morning, unless it can probably be fixed, she's the one who should put it together. Because when I put things together, we'll figure it out. Let's just do it. I had this problem on Father's Day. For Father's Day, I got a new grill. It's great. Beautiful grill. I put them together a million times. My son, Finley, 12, he's helping me put together this grill. We get about 3/4 of the way through, and he's holding up a piece, and he goes, where does this one go? And I look at it, and I go, oh, that went like 5 steps before. All right, here we go. And he was like, you know, this wouldn't take as much time if you would just follow the directions. I said, yeah, but it's not as fun if you do it that way, right? Instructions are hard. They're hard to follow, and I'm not very good at it. I think Christians, too, are not very good sometimes at following the instructions of Jesus, because instead of relying on the community and peace that comes when we're together, we rely on other things, like the insistence that we all think the same thing all the time, or the insistence that we all vote the same way all the time, or the insistence that, well, when the going gets tough, half of us can get up and leave and just do something else. Jesus gives instructions not to do any of that. And yet that's how we operate in this world. If the going gets tough, we get up and go. Or we buy our way into power. or we pay people off, or we accept gifts so that we can stay quiet. I'm not good at following instructions. I don't think the church is either. We mess this up all the time. You know, that old song goes, and they'll know we are Christians by our right doctrine and correct beliefs. Right doctrine and correct beliefs. Love, not anything else. Love that takes time to foster. It takes peace. The absence of injustice and harm and dehumanization, the absence of those things. See, I think Jesus knew that we are kind of terrible at following directions, following instructions. And so even though he tells them to bring words of peace, I think Jesus understood that probably in the long run, this isn't going to happen. That the signs of peace would fade in the hands of humans, and instead would be twisted and turned into signs of control and mixed messages of not just peace, but of behavior conformity and doctrinal purity and political conformity. And so in the end, Jesus does something different. Well, he gives these 70 disciples the instructions on how to make peace in the kingdom of God. He knew that this world would not allow us to do that for very long. And so instead, in the end, Jesus gave us a sign. A sign of just how far Jesus was going to go to be with us. A sign of just how far Jesus was going to go with no purse and no sandals and no bag. He was not going to be paid off or pay us off, and he was not going to abandon us when things get hard. A sign that love will stop at nothing. Stop at nothing, not even the signs the religious elites were holding up to him, not even the signs that the political powers were holding up to him, not even the signs of the threat of death that was holding up to him. God's love for us, for humanity, for the world, would not stop, even if we messed up the instructions. God's love will not stop at anything. Can't you read the sign? You know, the third verse of this song by the Five Man Electric Band. The sign said, "Everybody welcome, come and kneel down and pray." But when they passed the plate at the end of it all, I didn't have a penny to pay. So I took a pen and a paper, and I made up my own little sign. I said, "Thank you, Lord, for thinking about me. I'm alive and feeling fine." I pray that God give us the ability to bring peace, real peace, to the places that we are. And I pray that we are able to better follow the instructions, to not want to be paid off or to pay others off, to not abandon each other when things get tough, to not even get distracted with anything else in this world that is trying to disrupt us from the ways that we can bring peace to each other. But I pray that if those things happen, and when those things happen, when we forget, and when we mess up, that we remember that in the end of it all, it is not what we do, but whose we are that matters. And who God is that matters. And who is God? God is the one that even when we mess up the instructions, and even when we forget the directions, and even when we forget what true peace is, will stay with us even until the very end. And if you need proof, beloved, just read the sign.
Thank you. Living together in hope and trust, let's
confess our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Drawn into the embrace of the Holy Trinity, we lift our prayers for the wholeness of the Church, the world, and all creation. You send your church into the world with a message of peace. Center the whole church in this peace and strengthen our faith by the example of all those who creatively and faithfully proclaim your good news. God of grace, all the earth sings out your name. Inspire your people to drink deeply from the beauty of all your creation. When ecosystems are wounded, bring your healing. When our actions endanger the survival of other species, curb your greed and waste. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
You call us to work for the good of all. Give resolve to those who lead, that they do not grow weary in doing what is right. Guide them to speak peace between nations and freedom and justice for all people. God of grace, as a mother comforts her child, so you comfort us. Bring this comfort to those in any pain, especially Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, John, Janine, Eddie, Pam, Dottie, Bobby, the family of Scott Black, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Carry your people when grief is heavy, and lift burdens of shame and self-doubt. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Your harvest is plentiful, O God. Make us laborers and companions with one another in this assembly. Send your peace to rest upon us. Heal divisions among us, and open our hearts to receive one another as gifts from you. God of grace, you have written our names in heaven, O God, and we rejoice. We thank you for those who have lived and died in your love, especially Lynn Helms. Accompany us in our life's journey and draw us at last to life forever in you. God of grace, hear our prayer.
Gather all our prayers in your mercy,
O God, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Now the peace of Christ be with you always. Share God's peace with one another. Please stand.
In gratitude and humble,
pray together. Creator God, in your wisdom you bring forth all that is good, and the harvest is plentiful. Strengthen us at your table with these gifts of the earth of our labor, that we may work for all of all, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with this church on earth and all the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Full of your glory, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. All praise to you, glorious God of grace. Throughout the ages, you have blessed us with foremothers of the faith. With Sarah, we bless you for the gift of life. With Ruth, we bless you and praise you for family and food. With Miriam, we celebrate our escape from the foe. Remembering Deborah, we honor the words of your prophets. Remembering the woman at the well, we laud you for living water. Remembering Junia, we thank you for those who minister among your people. One with your daughter of Jairus, we wake to life in you. With Mary, we magnify your name. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Remembering Martha and Mary, we join Jesus at this meal. Living, he healed the bleeding woman. Dying, he cared for his mother. Risen, he sent Mary Magdalene in mission. On the night before he died, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, he gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With Mary, again, we magnify your name. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Mighty God of mercy, as you heard the prayers of Hannah, so now hear us. Send your spirit on this bread and wine, that sharing the body and blood of Christ, we become his body in the world. Send your spirit on this assembly, that like Phoebe, we serve one another with zeal. Send your spirit upon the church, that like Anna, we tell others of your mercy. Send your spirit into our hearts, that like Dorcas, we care for the poor and the needy. All praise to you, powerful God of peace. We adore you, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You who mother and feed us and comfort us today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. Now, gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The kingdom of God is set before you. Eat and rejoice.
Thank you.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. Mother in God, you gathered us to your table, and we drank deeply of your grace. Send us out by your Spirit to love our neighbors as ourselves, and proclaim your love in Jesus' name. Amen.
The love of God abound in you. The grace of our Savior Jesus Christ fill your hearts, and the life of the Spirit bless you and give you peace. Amen.
Together, as united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.